airlines face the high price of oil, you and I will face the high price of airfares.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. As earnings season continues, we're getting a better sense of how airlines are doing these days with high oil prices and a rebounding economy. Low-cost carrier Southwest reported today it eked out a small profit, about $5 million. But United Continental and the parent to American Airlines said they lost money. No matter the result, airlines have been raising fares to offset the steep cost of oil, i.e. jet fuel. Mary Schlangenstein is an airline reporter for Bloomberg, and she's with us now from Dallas. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm curious, if the cost of oil gets any higher, like we're at, what, 110, 112 bucks a barrel now, what happens to these airlines? I mean, it already seems like they're sort of teetering on the edge.
Well, the airlines have been putting through fare increases. They've put through 7 so far this year, and that is helping them to some extent. The other thing that they are doing is they are all slowing their planned growth for this year. And that, of course, allows them to burn less fuel. It also allows them to continue to increase fares. And it's interesting because the executives said today on their conference calls that even though oil is going up and their prices are rising, demand is still strong. As long as demand is strong, they're going to continue to increase prices.
How long do you think demand is going to stay strong? I mean, yeah, we're approaching the summer season right now. But, I mean, if we're paying $500 for a small ticket, I mean, what do you think?
Well, what the airlines are saying is that they feel like they're in good shape unless the price of oil gets so high that it starts to slow the economy and the economic expansion. That hasn't happened yet, and they don't think that businesses in particular are going to cut back on spending, you know, until or if the economy starts to slow. Now, JetBlue and Southwest Airlines, which both carry more leisure travelers, both said that they aren't even seeing any slowing in leisure demand, and particularly going into the summer season.
What about consolidation? A lot of these airlines are getting together, United, Continental, Delta, Northwest. How does that play into tough times for the airlines?
Tough times is kind of what led to a lot of that consolidation, because when they consolidate, they're able to eliminate overlap and cut costs. But the problem now is that the really big guys have already consolidated, and so there's not a whole lot of consolidation left to be done. U.S. Airways has said that they will combine with one of the big three, which would be Delta, United, or American. But I don't think there's any expectation that that would happen anytime soon.
Mary Schlangenstein, airline reporter for Bloomberg. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, half a percent or less. The Dow up 30 points at 12,484. Global stocks ended the day higher as well. Weekly jobless claims are lower. The Labor Department said 13,000 fewer people applied for new unemployment benefits. McDonald's profit rose more than 10% in the last quarter. Yum! Brands, which includes fast foodies KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, also saw a profit increase. And tech firm Qualcomm said net earnings in its latest quarter were up thanks to smartphone sales. Jury deliberations could start as early as today in the insider trading trial of Galleon hedge fund founder Raj Rajaratnam. But will the case change much of anything on Wall Street? Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Whether or not Raj Rajaratnam is convicted, his case has gotten people paying attention to insider trading again. Robert Heim is a lawyer who used to work at the Securities and Exchange Commission. He says that's part of what prosecutors wanted to do with this case.
The SEC and the prosecutors have really intended to show that insider trading cases are back at the top of the agenda.
There have been plenty of high-profile insider cases in the past. Think Ivan Boesky or Martha Stewart. The question is whether those cases deter somebody considering a life of white-collar crime. Seth Taub is head of litigation for Baker Botts, which is a law firm. He used to work in the enforcement department of the SEC. He has a cynical take.
The deterrent effect lasts for a year or two, and then the next generation of 30-somethings who think they're the smartest guys in the room come up with new schemes.
Taub says the new financial reform bill could change the insider trading game. Among other things, it includes provisions to oversee hedge funds much more rigorously. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
As you probably have heard this morning, Major League Baseball has taken over the day-to-day operations of the L.A. Dodgers. The league says a cash shortage has affected team performance and stadium security. Now, historically, few teams of any sport have been taken over by the leagues, so this has some pretty big ramifications. Marketplace's Janet Babin is with us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Steve.
How is it a league can come in and just usurp the owner and the executive director just like that?
Yeah, leave it to sports, right? In the rarefied diamond of baseball, the league commissioner can swoop in and take over a team. The league just has to invoke its special powers in the name of whatever's in the best interests of baseball. It famously did this in the 90s. It suspended Yankees owner George Steinbrenner, and it's moved against other owners too, but this action is more radical. It really would take pretty much all power away from Dodgers owner Frank McCourt.
So is this temporary, Janet?
Well, it seems to be temporary, and the league's going to have to come in and take on some expenses of the Dodgers, going to have to meet payroll. Now, Frank McCourt will try to fight the league on this, but I spoke to Eric Fisher with Sports Business Journal about this, and he says for McCourt, this is like he's in the bottom of the ninth with two outs.
He's just so heavily leveraged in debt, he just doesn't have the money to basically buy his way out of these problems right now.
Long term, the league will absolutely have to find a new owner to buy the team.
All right. Marketplace's Janet Babin. Thanks, Janet.
Thank you.
And speaking of baseball, a robot yesterday threw out the first pitch at the Phillies Brewers baseball game in Philadelphia. The mechanical hurler, known simply as PhillyBot, is the creation of a couple of University of Pennsylvania students. But PhillyBot didn't have a glowing debut. It only managed a 40-mile-an-hour bouncer that came up short of home plate. And the Philly fans booed him. Check out a picture and a video of PhillyBot, including the boos, at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org, and on Twitter at Marketplace Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You know this feeling, right? I think that we live in a world today where you can't leave your house, you can't do anything without somebody trying to market something to you, without somebody trying to sell you something.
Which came first, the marketing or the money? I'm Kai Rizdahl. A chat with Morgan Spurlock about his new documentary, Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.